Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the distinction between sin and righteousness. So let's read 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10 again together. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, in the last broadcast, we finished our look at verses 7 and 8, and today I want to begin to examine verse 9. So let's read that verse again together. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, this verse is one of the most powerful statements in all the Bible. But because of the proliferation of a lot of bad teaching in the modern church, this verse is also one of the most misunderstood statements in the Bible. In this verse, John is making a very clear proclamation about the relationship that genuine believers have with sin and why this relationship exists. John says very clearly here that genuinely born-again, blood-bought saints of God do not practice sin. Now, if you were listening to earlier broadcasts, you will remember the discussion that we had about statements like this. On the surface, in whatever English translation you are using, it appears that John is saying here that saved people rise to the level of sinless perfection. John appears to be saying here that sin is no longer present at all in a believer's life. And even though that sure looks like what John is saying, hear me when I tell you that that is not what John is saying here. This is an example of why we cannot simply scan over our English translation Bibles and then go out and develop doctrines, and why we need to go back to the original languages to get the full meaning of what John was saying. Anytime you run into a verse or a passage of Scripture which appears to be teaching something that is contradictory to other verses or passages, you need to remember a very important rule of biblical interpretation. Always allow the Bible to interpret the Bible. Interpret Scripture with Scripture. Never make the mistake of interpreting Scripture privately. In other words, based upon your own limited knowledge and experience, never make the mistake of interpreting Scripture using your own logic or human reasoning or by using other books or outside tools. The best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture itself. The Bible does not teach that saved people cease from sin totally. The Bible does not teach that saved people are sinless. It just doesn't teach that. There is not a single human being on earth today, or any who have ever lived in any period of history, who does not sin, and that does not sin multiple times every day, except one, Jesus Christ. And anyone who believes or thinks that sinless perfection is possible, or that sinless perfection is the goal of salvation, is simply deceived. There are those people today who honestly believe that they can reach a place of sinless perfection in this life and on this earth. And I know some of these people, and I know they are sincere, and they're earnest about loving Jesus and about serving him. And I love these people dearly, but they're dead wrong about this issue. Now, I can teach about this all day long, but the quickest way that we can arrive at a true understanding of what John is teaching here is by simply going back to the language in which John originally wrote this book in, which is Greek. You see, beloved, John didn't write this epistle of 1 John in English. John never spoke or wrote a single word of English. Neither did Paul, neither did Moses, and neither did Jesus. And whether you read from the King James Version or the New King James or the NASB or the ESV or the NIV or whatever version you use, the fact of the matter is that the Bible that you hold in your hand is nothing more than an English translation of the scriptures that were originally penned down in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. The King James Version, the New King James, the NASB, the ESV, or the Holman Christian Standard Version are all reliable and dependable English translations of what the Holy Spirit inspired 40 men to pen down over a 1,440-year time frame in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And I would encourage you not to use the NIV or the Living Translation and some of the others, because those versions are not true translations. They are paraphrases, and so I would not recommend them. But whichever English translation you use, understand that there are trade-offs that the translators made. You want to be as literal as you can to the original manuscripts. But as you seek to be literal, you run into a readability problem, because if you were to translate the original manuscripts completely literally, you couldn't read them due to the way the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic languages work. So the other consideration is that you try to make the English translation readable. And the more readable you make it, the less literal it is. And the more literal it is, the less readable it is. So translators try to split the difference, and some side on being more readable while others side on being more literal. So my choice is to get as literal a version as you can find, which is the five that I mentioned, and then also get a Greek and Hebrew lexicon and dictionary, as well as a Strong's Concordance and a reliable commentary set, such as those put out by Matthew Henry or James Montgomery Boyce or John MacArthur or John Calvin. All of these tools are available on software, such as BibleSoft and Logos. And then add tools as you see the need for them, so that you may study properly and not simply wing it. Now, there are many people who want to appear to be super spiritual, who say that they allow the indwelling Holy Spirit to interpret the scriptures for them, which is just nonsense. As insulting as this may seem to you, everybody on earth right now is the student of somebody else. Nobody is self-taught, and nobody is self-taught about the Bible. The very same Holy Spirit that inspired the scriptures is the same Holy Spirit who set up teachers in the church. And teachers are an intermediary that God ordained. Those of us who are saved right now, today, are the recipient of 2,000 years of New Testament teachers. And so we need to listen to what God's ordained teachers teach, which is why I'm trying so hard to get you to read some of them. And so for anybody to try to bypass the gift of teachers and go directly to God to understand divine truth is to try to bypass God's will. And so if you are teaching yourself while thinking that God the Holy Spirit is teaching you directly, you aren't really doing anything but elevating yourself in your own mind. But you are also cutting yourself off from the many teachers that God placed in the church over the centuries for your benefit. And we also need to remember that it is impossible for anybody to rise above their teachers. And so you need to be very careful who is teaching you, and you need to take heed what you are being taught. Once again, to teach yourself while thinking that God the Holy Spirit is teaching you directly is to also assume that you possess all wisdom and all truth by yourself, and that is a tragic mistake. For example, when you examine verse 9 in the original Greek, you begin to see that the Apostle John was using what is called a present participle tense of the verb to sin. The fact of Greek grammar means that when John says here, "No one who is born of God practices sin," that what John actually meant was that whoever is born of God does not commit sin on an ongoing and continual basis as a normal way of life. John did not teach that saved people no longer sin at all. In fact, John taught that to teach that would be contrary to the gospel. Read with me 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." John teaches here very clearly that everybody sins. Saved people sin and lost people sin. You see, salvation does not mean that we cease from sin. Salvation comes by grace through faith without any human works to unworthy sinners, not because we stopped sinning. So for John to teach that saved people no longer sin at all in chapter 3 would be for him to contradict what he taught back in chapter 1. And since God the Holy Spirit cannot err, and since both chapter 1 and chapter 3 were inspired by God the Holy Spirit, there is no contradiction at all. The only reason that what John taught here in 1 John 3:9 appears to contradict what he taught in 1 John 1:8 is simply because the English language does not adequately allow for those language nuances of the Greek to be accurately displayed. This apparent contradiction is very easily overcome simply by going back to the original Greek and examining what John was actually saying in this verse. By using the present participle of the verb to sin in 1 John 3:9, John was teaching the very same thing that he taught earlier in his epistle, that saved people now possess inside of them the new divine nature which was created in righteousness and true holiness, and which has both the will and the power to love and to serve God. And so, as a result of the human being born from above, the new nature within this saved soul no longer craves after sin like he did when he was lost. You see, the heart of a lost person was totally and utterly ruined by the fall of Adam in the garden. Turn with me to read Genesis 6 verse 5 and see how God himself describes the normal heart of the normal person who is fallen. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Think of this. This describes the condition of every single human being born of woman after the fall before they are saved. And what is that condition that God said our hearts were like? Every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I realize that many in the modern church don't believe that lost people are really that bad. But God does. And I also suggest to you that the only reason why everybody doesn't agree with God about the condition of lost people is due to the infiltration of pagan humanistic teachings which deny the Christian faith and which teach things contrary to sound doctrine. And that is why massive Bible truths about original sin, the fall and the imputation of Adam's guilt, and all of those timeless scriptural absolutes, that's why they need to be taught, why they need to be learned by the current generation of believers. Lost people are so lost that they cannot save themselves. They cannot do something to improve their standing with God. Lost people do not possess anything in themselves that makes them attractive to God. Therefore, salvation is not difficult for lost people to obtain. It is impossible by and through their own power or through an act of their own will. Salvation takes a divine and supernatural miracle of grace and mercy to save all who are lost. And John understood this. And John also understood that even though our souls are saved, our fleshly bodies are not saved and are still subjected to the fleshly lusts and sinful desires of an unconverted temple even after our souls are saved. And that is the only reason why saved people sin. Their saved soul dwells in an unconverted temple that lives in an unconverted world that is dominated by Satan in a system that fights against God. And that is why we need a new body in order to go to heaven. This sinful tabernacle can't make the trip. That is also why we will not even be able to sin in heaven, because our saved souls will dwell in a new sinless body that dwells in the paradise of God where Satan cannot come. So yes, sadly, saved people still sin. But the difference is that because they are saved, they no longer desire to sin. They no longer love their sin. They no longer pursue after their sin, but they earnestly and fervently seek after the truth, and they seek the face of God, and they desire to know his ways so that they may bring him the glory and honor and praise that he alone so richly deserves. And that is what John is teaching in this verse. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.